Hi, this is Chris France of Talking Heads, and you're listening to 90.7 FM WGXC, Accra.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Accra, and you're tuned into the WGXC Morning Show. Today we're going to hear a little bit about Judith Henk from Beyond Plastics testifying before the U.S. Senate about plastics in America. We'll also hear the national headlines from the Public News Service and the local Better Weather from the Catskill Maker Syndicate. And it all starts after the local news on the WGXC Morning Show. Stay tuned.
This is the news. This is the news. This is the network, network. On air, in air, waves controlled. On air, in air, channel connection. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network, network. This is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network. And the moon turns to blood. A stream runs through. And the moon turns to blood. This is the network. Network.
This is the news.
This is the network.
This is the news.
This is the network. Network. This is the news.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about anything you hear here. Go to the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information about any of these stories and more, and about school closings and other delays as the snow comes down. All the Greene County schools announced they were closed on Friday, December 16th ahead of time because a lot of snow is forecast, though it might be rain in Columbia County. Andrea Macko reports for Porcupine Soup that the New York State Public Service Commission has ordered Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation to show why they should not face civil penalties for, quote, apparent failures related to the company's new customer information and billing system, unquote. According to a Public Service Commission report released December 15th, quote, Central Hudson's customer information and billing system were riddled with defects at launch, resulting in overcharges and delayed bills for thousands of customers, as well as automatic withdrawals from the bank accounts of many customers for multiple months' worth of charges, unquote. The system transition also led to a drastic decrease in customer satisfaction metrics, unquote. In September 2021, Central Hudson established a new customer information and billing system. Thereafter, Central Hudson customers complained to local officials in New York State Department of Public Service about excessive and delayed bills and a lack of customer support. The DPS in April 2022 began an investigation into the complaints and complications related to the system upgrade. That 8-month investigation identified several violations of the public service law, regulations, and commission orders. The report specifies a variety of missteps by the company, including a failure to adequately test the system, a failure to properly resource the project, a failure to properly train staff, a failure to heed warnings of its own employees, and an overall lack of candor with its customers and the public. Central Hudson now has 30 days to demonstrate why the commission should not commence a civil penalty action and/or an administrative penalty proceeding. The company must also submit a plan to eliminate bi-monthly estimates and to evaluate the potential impacts of such a change on customers. Read more about the story at porcupinesoup.com.
Andrea Macko reports in Porcupine Soup that Governor Kathy Hochul on December 14th announced that the village of Tannersville is one of 11 communities getting a $10 million downtown revitalization initiative award. Tannersville will use $2.5 million to help build affordable housing, one of the region's largest needs. The Country K Grocery, Orpheum Performing Arts Center, and the Mountaintop Library will all make improvements with part of the funding. Plus, the village of Tannersville will convert to solar power with panels in four locations. And part of the $10 million will turn the Colonial Golf Park into festival grounds and create more parking spots in the village. Tannersville Mayor Dr. Lee McGonigal said, and I quote, "These public and private investments will address the senior and workforce housing crisis while creating a stronger economy with a healthy, walkable community and cleaner environment with renewable energy. These projects will have a positive impact for generations," end quote. Read the full story in Porcupine Soup.
Kathleen Moore reports for the Times Union that the New York State Board of Regents wants all four-year-olds to have free preschool by 2030 and then expand the program to all three-year-olds by 2035. The board has submitted a budget request to the state asking for $1.1 million for staff to redesign preschool funding. Access issues include trouble with transportation and limited space at existing preschools, as well as difficulty making the preschools accessible to those with disabilities. Most districts do not have space for preschool in their school buildings, so they pay for space at existing private preschools. But many of those buildings are not accessible. Some have stairs, no elevators, not enough space for a wheelchair, or no accessible playground equipment. The Board of Regents has asked the state for $20 million for preschool inclusivity grant that would be awarded to districts that provide services to four-year-olds with disabilities. The state would continue funding for the program so that by 2035, all children aged 3 and older would be in free full-day education. The preschool years have long been understood to be crucial learning time for children and a way to reduce the achievement gap. In 1965, the federal government launched Head Start for children ages 3 to 5, and research now shows that children who attended Head Start have better educational outcomes than their peers who did not go through the program. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
Larry Rolison is reporting in the Times Union that Representative Elise Stefanik wants the Federal Bureau of Investigation to be transparent, but she herself is not following the same advice. Stefanik blasted the FBI on December 13th over what she calls an ongoing lack of transparency regarding the Bureau's internal investigation into the past interactions with the family at the center of the 2018 Schoharie limousine crash. But Stefanik won't share the contents of a letter she received from the FBI last month. The letter she won't share prompted her to attack the FBI. The FBI's inspection division last spring opened a probe to examine its investigation of Shahid Hussein, an FBI informant who owned the Wilton-based limousine company involved in the limo crash, which killed 20 people in Schoharie County. Stefanik, a Republican member of the House Intelligence Committee that oversees the FBI, said on December 13th that she would follow through on a promise to subpoena the Bureau about the issue when Republicans become the majority party in the House of Representatives in January. Stefanik said in a statement on December 13th, and I quote, "The FBI is completely failing their responsibility to inform Congress, and they can no longer brush off my request on behalf of New York families. These families and the entire Schoharie community were devastated by the deadly limo tragedy that could have been avoided if not for FBI negligence," end quote. But Stefanik declined to provide any evidence that the FBI has not been forthcoming. Stefanik's office refused requests for a copy of the FBI's recent letter and would not say why they would not share the letter, although a brief email from her office cited unspecified, and I quote, "sensitivities," end quote. An FBI spokesperson declined to comment on the issue. A New York Magazine article on the crash earlier this year prompted Stefanik and Representative Paul Tonko, a Democrat, to demand the FBI answer questions about whether or not it had protected Hussein from legal trouble during his time as an FBI informant. Testifying before the House Intelligence Committee earlier this year, FBI Director Christopher Wray told Stefanik that the FBI did not want to publicly speak about its interactions with Hussein because doing so may imperil the Bureau's relationships with its undercover informants. Read more about this story in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News is reporting that the number of private sector jobs in the Hudson Valley increased by 27,800, or 3.6%, for a total of 799,500 during the month of November. Growth was greatest in the education and health services sector, with more than 10,000 jobs added, the leisure and hospitality sector with 6,900 jobs, and the professional and business services sector, which added 6,300 jobs. The losses were greatest in the financial activities and manufacturing sectors. The number of new jobs grew the most in Sullivan County at 6.8%. Ulster County saw 2.0% job growth. Greene and the Dutchess-Putnam area each reported 1.0% growth, and Columbia County saw 0.6% growth. Delaware County lost 8.8% of its jobs. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Zach Fink reports at New York State of Politics that on December 15th, Governor Kathy Hochul signed legislation that will eventually ban the sale of dogs, cats, and rabbits from pet stores in New York State starting in 2024. Instead of selling animals, pet stores will be allowed to charge rent to shelters who want to display pets in those stores for adoptions. State Senator Michael Gianaris of Queens, the bill's sponsor, said, and I quote, "They can go to a shelter and adopt one of the hundreds of thousands of animals that are sitting there waiting for adoption who are in need. These are great animals that are in need of help. If someone wants a particular breed, they have an allergy, they have some desire to have a particular breed, they can still deal directly with breeders," end quote. Read more about this story at New York State of Politics.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day. And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, the winter weather advisory will still be in effect. There will be snow before 1 p.m., then rain and snow, with a temperature high near 34 degrees. More snow on Friday night, mainly after 1 a.m., with a temperature low of around 32 degrees. And on Saturday, a slight chance of snow showers before 1 p.m. It will be partly sunny, with a temperature high near 37 degrees. And Saturday night, partly cloudy with a temperature low of around 20 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, December 16th, we have all kinds of special local programming for you on 90.7 WGXC, especially at noon. It's time for the Sugar Shack Jukebox. After the local news, Rockin' Ray Palmer is the guest, and it's his annual show where he picks out Christmas favorites and sings along on the radio at 90.7 FM WGXC. And we're live in Acre at 4 p.m. at the WGXC afternoon show. Live back on Main Street in Catskill at 6 p.m. with Clubhouse Radio with local youth. And different local youth in Hudson at 7 p.m. on the Bound by Books show about what they've been reading lately. At 8 p.m. we're live from New York City with the Experimental Intermedia performance series we've been airing all week, with Gryphon Rue performing this evening at 8. Then at 10 p.m. it's time for Guy and Friends with Techno and More on the radio at WGXC 90.7 FM.
To get a local event mentioned on All Together Now, go to WGXC.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page, and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
There is a holiday menorah lighting on Sunday, December 18th at 5 p.m. in the public square in Hudson on Warren Street. Rabbi Kremer will preside on the first night of Hanukkah, and all are invited as the first candle is lit on the menorah lighting at 5 p.m. Sunday, December 18th in the public square at 7th Street and Warren Street in Hudson. Find out more on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
The Public News Service Daily Newscast, December the 16th, 2022. I'm Mike Turner. From coast to coast, the U.S. has a housing shortage. But if you're moving to rural Oklahoma and want to build, there is now a database to help find available land. More from Ross Brown for Soundbite Services.
The new tool features a wealth of information, including available utilities and cost of the land. Shantaria Charleston with the National Nonprofit Housing Assistance Council says the database creates a marketable pool of lots from which potential buyers and builders can choose.
Lots of times people don't even know who owns land. And so if there is any kind of contention over the property, having this information would be really helpful.
The new program is a collaborative effort between the Oklahoma Municipal League and the Oklahoma Home Builders Association. Charleston says her only concern is that some communities may still lack broadband internet access to the information.
The Oklahoma Municipal League says it will maintain the database and assist local governments with inquiries concerning abandoned and dilapidated properties. The midterm elections are in the rearview mirror, but some North Dakotans are looking ahead to the session as they monitor possible changes to voting policy.
Prior to recent election cycles, races for school board seats were often deemed non-political and without much tension. But special interest groups pushing for book bans and against certain race-related teachings have altered the landscape in many states. Mary Tintis of the League of Women Voters in North Dakota says it wasn't as pronounced in North Dakota, but her group wants to avoid it becoming a bigger problem.
The focus should be on what's best for the education of the kids in that district and not some sort of political agenda.
School board candidates in North Dakota aren't required to file campaign finance reports. The league wants to see legislation to change that, arguing voters should know which groups are backing these candidates. Organizations that align with candidates who have controversial views often cite parental rights and voice concerns about some types of curricula as indoctrinating students. I'm Mike Moen.
In North Dakota's last session, a plan to reduce the number of early voting days failed. Backers of that plan cited the need to restore election integrity as false claims mounted around the 2020 election. And CNBC reports that stocks fell sharply Thursday after new data showed retail sales declined more than expected in November, raising fears that the Federal Reserve's interest rate hikes are tipping the economy into a recession. The Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 764 points in its worst day since September. This is PNS. A recent report shows the number of uninsured kids in South Carolina is on the decline. The Georgetown University Center for Children and Families report finds the state's rate of uninsured children is down 5.3% for 2021. Dr. Deborah Greenhouse is a fellow of the American Academy of Pediatrics.
Young people across the country are enduring crisis after crisis, and we need to ensure that they can access timely, comprehensive health care now more than ever. We're continuing to witness an alarming surge of pediatric respiratory illness, including RSV and flu.
Dr. Greenhouse hopes children and families can continue to rely on the coverage that they need. And with a wave of unionization sweeping across America, the agency that oversees labor relations is struggling to keep up.
The National Labor Relations Board is funded by Congress, and its budget is unchanged since fiscal year 2014. Over time, inflation has eaten into that figure to the point that now the agency is effectively operating with a 25% lower budget than 9 years ago. This is in contrast with the growing caseload the agency is addressing thanks to increasing unionization. Sarah Steffens with the Communications Workers of America says without additional funding, the agency may have to cut staff.
The agency is seeing a lot of work responding to these election petitions and to employer misbehavior. And at the same time, they're contemplating the need to potentially do a furlough of their employees.
The NLRB warned Congress in a letter in November that the current funding level is impairing their ability to maintain staff capacity at their headquarters and 48 field offices across the nation. Brett Pivato reporting.
Finally, Edwin J. Vieira tells us a bill before the New York State Legislature would remove the National Rifle Association's ability to certify gun safety instructors.
Under Senate Bill 9601, New York State's Department of Criminal Justice Services would develop a curriculum for gun safety training. The legislation comes several months after the Supreme Court struck down the state's concealed carry laws, which required that a person show proper cause to want to carry a gun. State Senator Sean Ryan, who introduced the bill, says it was brought forward because of the NRA's support for that lawsuit. He describes what he hopes the training would cover.
I would hope if the Department of Criminal Justice Services makes up their curriculum, that they will then train New Yorkers about how to safely store their guns, the responsibility of a gun owner vis-a-vis children in the house, but also to go over places where guns are and are not allowed in New York State.
This is Mike Clifford, and thank you for wrapping up your week with Public News Service, member and listener supported. Here's a great radio station's your favorite podcast platform. Find your trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, December 16th. Local early morning temperatures range from 31 degrees in Tannersville to 38 in Copaig. Regional average soil temperature is 37. Snow is falling, but much more likely if you are up in the air. Seeing the same trend as the last couple years, daily average temperatures seem to be hovering about the freezing point, and that 1 degree negative offset in Tannersville is why they are showing 9 inches on the sensor net, and that's 9 inches of fluffy white stuff. Down in Catskill, the snowpack for the most part melted away, and just to the north in Durham, they accumulated at least 7 inches, and that's at 5 a.m. Rest of the day will keep dropping snow up in the mountains, another 6 inches by dark. Down at sea level, it's a little different. North of the Greene County-Albany line, you're probably getting snow or a mix. South of that is likely to get just rain or a mix. A slight temperature fluctuation could mean a lot, but so far it's looking stable. Today's high, let's call it 35, and it's going to happen whenever you would like. The hill folk are going to see temperatures drop slowly through the day, so they're going to end up more like 28 degrees by dark. Winds will be blowing snow around in the areas that have it. Caution when driving. Overnight temperatures dip a little to 28 degrees all over, allowing for surface ice. More caution when driving. Snow, rain, whatever, it comes to an end by dawn on Saturday, and we'll see a high of 39 degrees. Again, a thaw freeze that could cause dangerous conditions, even for people just trying to walk. 22 degrees overnight takes us into a calm-looking Sunday with a high of 35. Monday gets windy with a high of 37. Sunset today will be at 4:11 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:14 a.m. Looking way up, we see radio blackouts are becoming a bit more frequent as Sunspot 65 blasts us with glancing UV rays. Currently, Sunspot 63 is quietly building magnetic chaos and is staring right at us. That is putting X-class flare chances at 15% and M-class flares at 70% today. Expect GPS glitching and poor radio reception. Solar wind speed is currently 329.7 kilometers per second at 1.8 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently fair below 4 MHz till dark and fair below 60 MHz overnight, barring any sudden sun-based UV blackouts. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 2.3, quiet. The current sunspot number is 140. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Makers Syndicate.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Jenny Getty of Red Hook, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. Become a WGXC sustaining supporter today. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by SunCommon, supporting vibrant communities across New York for 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Drug addiction took away my family, my friends, my job, my freedom. I even lost my ability to function like a normal human being. I found hope in Narcotics Anonymous. That hope is available to anyone suffering from the horrors of addiction. For more information about Narcotics Anonymous or to find a meeting near you, call 845-431-9011 or visit na.org.
Early Electromix is a series to document the history of experimental electronic music from the 50s to the 80s. Pioneers who paved the way for what was to become techno, ambient, electronica, and most of what we are listening to. Essential Culture on air every Tuesday from 11 to 12 a.m.
From Catskill, here is Lorcan O'Reilly from his 2022 EP Christmas is Cancelled. This is Snowpile.
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
and you,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
are listening,
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 listening. You're listening to 90.7
Vin, Vin.
90.7 WGXC Acre Catskills.
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 Today.
East Durham.
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 Catskills.
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 And now here are the school closings for the WGXC listening area. Closing and delays in Columbia County are as follows. Chatham Central School District is closed. Columbia Green Community College is closed. Germantown School District is delayed 2 hours. Hudson City School District delayed 2 hours. No breakfast, no morning BOCES, no tutoring center. Ichabod Crane Central School District, open, no morning BOCES, no private school transportation, no out-of-district transportation. New Lebanon Central School District is closed. Questar 3 Donald Klein Technical is delayed 2 hours with no morning BOCES. Closing and delays in Green Counties are as follows. Cairo Durham Central School District is closed. Catrell Central School District is closed. Circle of Friends in Ravenna is closed. Coxsackie Athens Central School District is closed. And the offices are closed. The Durham schools are closed. The Early Childhood Learning in Cairo is closed. Greatville Christian School is closed. Green County Transit is closed. There is no transportation and no public buses running. Greenville Central School District is closed. The district office is closed. Hunter Tannersville Central School District is closed. Hunter Green ARC Catskill is open. No transportation and no buses running. UMC Daycare Norton Hill is closed. And Wyndham Ashland Jewett Central School District is closed. Stay tuned to WGXC 90.7 FM or WGXC.org for local weather updates.
Unsilent Night is an original composition by Phil Klein, written specifically to be heard outdoors in the month of December. He's been holding them at various cities around the world since 1992. Special composition for boombox radios, where multiple speakers make one shimmering seasonal composition. This year, one of the locations for Unsilent Night is in Kingston, New York. That's on December 16th from 6 to 7 p.m. Go to unsilentnight.com for more information about the specific location that will be announced shortly. Go to the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org for more information about all sorts of local events. A new song from sometimes Hudson resident Stephen Merritt and the Magnetic Fields. Have you seen it in the snow?
They say this city is dirty and gray, but I think it's pretty on a
a summer day, and on rainy nights, when the streets smudge the lights, it's beautiful, you know. But have you seen it in the snow? When every light has a halo, when it snows all night and the world glows white in the morning light. Oh, have you seen it in the snow? It's all falling down and rebuilding. Neither stars nor sun, and I've never seen one rainbow. For rainbows go to Idaho. But have you seen it in the snows? When every light has a halo, when it snows all night and the world glows white in the morning light. Oh, have you seen it in the snow?
There's all sorts of things to do on the WGXC community calendar online at WGXC.org, including Friday in Kingston, it's Unsilent Night, the original composition by Phil Klein for boomboxes and now cell phones. It's been going around since 1992. Sometimes it's around here, a little closer. This year it's in Kingston. Among other places around the country, but Kingston is closest. I think there's one in Western Massachusetts, too. That's at 6 p.m. in Kingston. Go to the kingston.unsilentnight.com for the secret location. The Silos perform Friday night, December 16th, at the Hangar on the Hudson in Troy. It's the 35th anniversary of their album Cuba, and they're doing it up. Saturday, December 17th, there's a Kwanzaa celebration at the Hudson Opera House. Operation Unite is helping to put this on from 5 to 8 p.m. Celebrate Kwanzaa in Hudson. Sunday, December 18th, there's a handmade holiday market in New Paltz, the Circle Creative Collective. That's from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Then every week at the Shamrock House in East Durham, there's the traditional Irish music session from 2 to 5 p.m., open jam for Irish playing. There is a menorah lighting this Sunday, December 18th, at the public square in Hudson. That's at the corner of Warren Street and 7th Street. Rabbi Kramer will preside on the first night of Hanukkah there. Everyone's invited to light the first candle at the menorah lighting in Hudson on Sunday. That's at 5 p.m. in the public square. Tuesday at the Hudson Area Library, there's a Narcan training. Learn to administer Narcan and reverse the effects of an opioid overdose. You get a nasal Narcan kit after you take the training. It's offered every third Tuesday of the month, and it's at 10 a.m. Tuesday, December 20th, at the Hudson Area Library. These events and many more are on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org. Go there to find out all kinds of things to do, and if you're working on putting something together yourself, you can press the Add an Event button and add your event and then hear your event announced on the radio. At 90.7 FM, WGXC.
C'est un contact.
C'est un contact.
Is it going to get any deeper than this?
Is it going to get any deeper?
From the Matmos side project, The Soft Pink Truth. That was Deeper Than This from the 2022 album. Is it going to get any deeper than this? Thank you. You're listening to the radio WGXC 90.7 FM. This is 2022 music from Bitchin' Bajas. The song is called Amorpha from their Bajacillerators album. Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
The United States Senate held a hearing on plastics on Thursday. Senator Merkley of Oregon, chair of the committee holding the hearing, is a lead sponsor of the Break Free from Plastic Pollution Act of 2021. This bill sets forth requirements and incentives to reduce the production of a variety of products and materials, including plastics, and increases efforts to collect, recycle, or compost products and materials. Judith Ink of Beyond Plastics was one of the members of the panel who testified.
Good morning, Senators. What an honor to be with you, and thank you for holding this hearing. It is so timely and so vitally important that we get to solutions. I'm Judith Ank. I use she, her pronouns, former EPA regional administrator, founder of Beyond Plastics, and I'm on the faculty at Bennington College in Vermont. On the off chance that you're not riveted by my 22-page testimony today, I want to direct you to page 8 with a great cartoon by Liza Donnelly. There's a guy or a gal looking out the window with their daughter saying, "Someday, daughter, all of this will be yours, and you'll just have to deal." I included that cartoon because it's a reminder of what is at stake, that we cannot leave our kids and our grandchildren with this enormous problem of plastic pollution. There are solutions. I can go on forever with solutions we can grab off the shelf today. There are also false solutions being promoted by the plastics industry, which I hope we can get into, which is chemical recycling or advanced recycling. You all know, you open a package that you order on Amazon, for instance, it arrives really overpackaged, so much stuff you don't need. And in fact, today, the prestigious national group Oceana put out a report on how much plastic packaging is produced by Amazon. Amazon, we need you to do much, much better. Oceana also commissioned a poll. 82% of voters want you to adopt laws to reduce plastics. The poll results were bipartisan: Republicans, Democrats, Independents. When I served at the EPA, I met many people who were climate change deniers. I have never met a plastic pollution denier, because the evidence is everywhere. You walk down the street, you see plastic bags in the trees. And I also want to go on the record by saying there are some uses of plastic, but we don't see medical waste hanging from trees. And medical waste, by the way, is a small percentage of plastic production. Cars are more efficient if they have some plastic, making them lighter. I don't see car bumpers in my local park. I see a lot of single-use plastics. This is a climate change issue. My organization did a report called The New Coal, Plastics and Climate Change. We looked at production, use, and disposal of plastics and learned that in the next decade, greenhouse gas emissions from plastics will exceed that of coal. I support recycling. I started my town's recycling program over 30 years ago. Everyone should keep recycling metal, glass, cardboard, aluminum. However, plastic recycling has been an abysmal failure. It clocks in at under 10%. And I quickly want to explain why. If you take a newspaper and you put it in the recycling bin, it can get recycled into a new newspaper. There are many, many different plastic resins. As Dr. Myers said, thousands of different plastic chemical additives in plastics and many different colors. If in your own home, your washing machine probably has on top of it a bright orange detergent hard plastic, in your refrigerator, you have a clear squeezable plastic. Those two cannot be recycled together. And when the plastics industry says they can use chemical recycling and create new plastics, that's not true. What they're mostly producing is fossil fuel. And that's the last thing we need, is more climate warming fossil fuel. Also, it's just not dealing with the large percentage of plastics that are out there. This is very